Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today is the gospel text appointed for today from Mark chapter 8, where our Lord Jesus had compassion on the crowd and feeds 4,000 in a desolate place. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of body and soul which you graciously provide. May your greatest blessing, the forgiveness of sins won for us at the cross, be ours by the power of your word and sacrament. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us to your holy hill, even to the place where you dwell. In Jesus' name, amen. Not every desolate place is the same. The wilderness of ancient Israel was a harsh and barren land of rock and dust, where the sun beat down upon dry hills and deserts, and where little grew besides thorn and thistle. In other parts of the world, the wilderness is something quite different, as vast forests or miles and miles of endless ice and snow also result in the same lack of those basic provisions necessary to sustain and support life. No matter what the case, in desolate places, man quickly learns how difficult it is to survive by our own power. Here in Mark chapter 8, a large crowd of people had followed Jesus far away from the security of their towns, villages, and homes to a deserted place, likely on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. These people were zealous for God's bright word and had been listening to Jesus preaching and teaching for 3 days. And Jesus knew that if he sent these people away hungry to their homes, they would faint on the way. And so our Lord determined to show them compassion. When the disciples heard this, they objected and said, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" They were concerned about the amount of earthly bread necessary to feed thousands of people and doubted our Lord's ability to provide. Like us at times, the disciples were looking only at the earthly bread rather than their Savior. Now, the world around here does not lack those basic provisions necessary to sustain human life. Yet nonetheless, you may find yourself in a place of want in which you are lacking something and discover that you are in desperate need. Yes, on account of the brokenness of this fallen world, you may also find yourself in a desolate place, perhaps in the loneliness and grief that accompanies the loss of someone you love, or the uncertainty of poor health or financial hardship, or the burden of strange relationships, or the fear of an unknown future. Worse still are the spiritual desolations that afflict every person out there. Perhaps your conscience is troubled by guilt at times. Your prayers do not seem to be answered. Temptations are growing more forceful, or you have begun to doubt the power of God or his presence in your life. Dear friends in Christ, you all know a desolate place personally, for we live in a spiritually desolate world, often void of the bright truth of God's holy word and barren of those things that are good, true, and beautiful. Instead, this world is filled with deceit and deception, with voices that promise freedom even while they only result in bondage, and with temptations carefully set before us by the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. These snares are not always obvious, but are often attractive, persuasive, and pleasing to the eye. They appeal to our pride and our desires. In the weakness of our human flesh, we often do not walk past such traps, but step into them willingly. We allow our hearts to be drawn away from the Lord, chasing after things that cannot give us life. Yet God never abandons his people. In fact, it is into these desolate places that Christ comes, not because we deserve his presence, but because his compassion excels our comprehension. For where human strength fails, the mercy of God shines most brightly. In the text, Jesus determined to have compassion on that crowd. But the disciples asked, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" While the disciples expressed doubt regarding our Lord's capacity to provide, Jesus had the people sit down to eat those 7 loaves and a few small fish. And then, according to our Lord's miraculous power to multiply very little into very much, Jesus blessed what little they held in common, so that all the people ate and were satisfied with 7 baskets of bread left over. God calls us to let go of all earthly concerns and realize that God is ultimately the one who provides. With such faith, our Lord likewise comes to you when you are hungry, and he feeds you. He grants you all that you need to support this body and life. When you are sick or suffering, he arrives with all of his compassion and aid. He grants you help and healing. He comforts you when you mourn or face mental anguish of any sort. The Lord comes to you in impossible situations, whatever they may be, and he helps you in the midst of your suffering. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Yet the far greater bread our Lord provides is that bread which does not perish. Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." There is a greater hunger than the hunger of the body, even while it is often overlooked. For in this spiritually desolate world, our souls are in desperate need for bread that will quicken for eternity. Dear friends in Christ, in this difficult wilderness, there is no hope within ourselves, but there is hope in God, whose compassion never fails. Therefore, repent and turn to him. As long as you are living in this world, it is never too late to return to Christ, to repent of sin and belong to God's kingdom of grace, receiving mercy and finding grace to help in time of need. Turn away from those things that cannot give life and return to the bread of life, who will never cast you out. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Yes, do not concern yourselves with Satan's bold accusations, nor let sin pester or alarm you. For our Lord had compassion on the crowd, and he has compassion on you. For while God's word of law condemns you, his word of grace quickens you to know that in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 4 says that Jesus was delivered over to death for your trespasses and raised for your justification. Christ died for the ungodly, and Christ died for all. And as the author of the letter to the Hebrews writes, our Lord is able to save to the uttermost all who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus has completed your salvation at the cross, and by the power of his resurrection, you also shall live forever. God does not abandon us to our own desires and devices, but he intervenes by the power of Christ's cross and resurrection. God has sent his only Son, Jesus, to live that perfect life that you have failed to live, and he shed his holy blood to atone for your failure to live it. Jesus remains an oasis for us in the midst of this spiritual desert. He comes to us with all of his grace and mercy to work new life within us. Jesus said, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died." He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." God arrives to lift you up and out of the mire of your sins. He feeds you his own body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your iniquities. He comes to you in your desolate place, whatever it may be, and he comes with all of his forgiveness. He rescues you from this age, and he draws you to himself in heaven. The good news of the gospel is that just as God deals graciously with this crowd in Mark chapter 8, he also shows such compassion to you. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Through his blessed word and sacrament, our Lord feeds and preserves his church. Jesus strengthens and forgives you. He comes to bring you all the benefits of his death and resurrection. He sends you the Holy Spirit, who shows you Jesus' pierced hands and riven side, declaring that your Savior shed his holy blood to atone for all of your transgressions and set you free from sin and death. You are not alone in this sin-broken world, for Jesus is with you, and he comes to you in your desolate place, whatever it may be. He comes to you in this place. He comes to this remote corner of our Lord's vineyard, and he will keep coming. Yes, if you are worried whether or not the Lord will remember this place or this congregation, you can be sure that just as God remembered the 4,000 in a desolate place, he remembers all of you. You can be absolutely confident of that. For God always provides for his people. His compassion excels our comprehension, and it is perfect. Here God offers you the bread of his own body in this holy sacrament, together with the blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. In this divine service, you find that same sort of refuge which the multitude in this text, zealous for the word of God, had in Jesus. He was life in that desolate place, and he is life in our midst as well. Here your needs are well supplied, your sins are forgiven, and you look forward to everlasting life in heaven. The earth would sometimes present itself to us as an oasis of its own and in a paradise which we might enjoy apart from God. We could easily find ourselves focused only on that earthly bread which perishes and overwhelmed by the desolations of this broken world. But thanks be to God, here God continues to grant us repentance and faith so that we rely upon Jesus for forgiveness and everlasting life. For Jesus is the living bread from heaven, such that one may eat of him and not die. Yes, Christ is your sanctuary in this age, just as he is here in this place, and he is your rest now and in heaven, for he lives and reigns for all eternity. One day, every desolate place shall disappear. No more lonely wildernesses. No more struggles, no more hunger, no more tears. The Lamb who fed the 4,000 will spread before his redeemed the marriage feast that has no end. Even now in Christ, a rose is blooming in the wilderness. For when you worship him in this age, you will surely worship him in that age yet to come. For blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. God feeds you now, so that you feast with him, world without end. May God make it happen in your life, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.